Welcome to Dare to Care with Dr. Elaine Jurkowski, a show focusing on helping listeners understand health and human service-related topics and improve one's literacy. We also challenge our listeners to care for someone close to them or within their community as a result of being introduced to new resources and ideas. And now your host, Dr. Elaine Jurkowski.
Welcome back to Dare to Care. Well, this season, people probably are very familiar with signs that they see around in communities related to fish fries. And fish fry season is upon us because we're in the middle of Lent. And so today's guest, Brian, is going to share with us about fish fry season and the Knights of Columbus. Welcome to our show, Brian.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
So, Brian, you are a Knight of Columbus, and I want to start off by just talking a little bit about the Knights of Columbus and, you know, what they do and kind of the connection between the Knights and the fish fries. So, it seems like joining is like the badge of honor is to be part of the fish fry. Is that right?
Well, the fish fry is, in case of number of councils, probably the main fundraiser. For our council and Carter Warden Knights of Columbus Council here in St. Louis area, Chesterfield to be exact, Chesterfield, Missouri. This is the biggest fundraiser we have to raise funds to help charities and stuff. We're basically a benevolent service organization. Operates on four different principles, and they're each one of the four degrees in the Knights. Charity, unity, fraternity, patriotism. The first three degrees are at the council level. The fourth degree, patriotism, that's like your assemblies, which can have a number of councils under them, and the assembly's only the fourth degree. And so, yeah, basically we're in service to one, service to all. If you watch Midnight Mass from the Vatican on EWTN or on your local NBC affiliate, NBC carries the Midnight Mass each year from St. Peter's, and the Knights sponsor that and make that happen to where it can be seen every year on your NBC station.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when did the Knights of Columbus begin, Brian, and who started it?
It was founded in 1882 by what was then an associate pastor at St. Mary's Catholic Church in New Haven, Connecticut, Father Michael McGivney, who is actually now Blessed Michael McGivney, and he founded, at a time where there's a deep mistrust of the Catholic community in the 1880s, 70s, and they often worked in dangerous working conditions. There were organizations at the time that promised social benefits and mutual aid, but came with a strong anti-Catholic bias, and the families had no way to really, with all the prejudice at the time, take care of the loved ones after death, after the person's died. And so Father McGinley got with a bunch of men at the parish, and they founded the Knights of Columbus to take care of all this. McGinley himself was a child of immigrants, and his favorite son who had to leave the seminary to help his mom, so he knew what the life was back then.
That's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So, did they develop mechanisms to help people with financial security at that time?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, we are for benefits at that time. That basically, that's why the whole organization was founded, was basically to help the as way to support these families, because no other organizations really would at that time.
And what are the basic pillars or foundations of faith with the Knights of Columbus? I know charity is one of them.
Oh, the four principles?
Yes.
Charity, basically Catholic faith teaches our love our neighbor as ourself. So their love for neighbors by conducting food drives, donating food to local soup kitchens and pantries, volunteering Special Olympics, and supporting both spiritually and materially mothers who choose life for their babies, for example. Unity. Well, know that together we can accomplish more than any by individual. I wouldn't say exactly like the fat village mentality of Hillary Clinton, but it's basically as a community of faithful Catholics, we can help each other, support each other, and fraternity. It's part of that. Probably assistance to widows and kids left behind when the family breadwinner passed away, sometimes prematurely. We have an insurance program just for knights and families. That is kind of what helps with what was started back in the 1880s with McGinley.
Yes, and that's worldwide, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it is now.
I have a personal example of that myself. My mother passed away last year, and when she passed, my father had been a knight, and after he passed away, my mom took out insurance policies to cover her final expenses, which was very helpful to us at the time.
Had a nice benefit. Yeah, he likely had that policy, bought the policy, and then the knights, upon a location of family of a knight passed away, they will present the widow or a family member with a check from the benefit, and they also help provide support, for example, just recently we passed away. Had Tony Kester Knight passed away, and our faithful navigator for the assembly reached out to the family on some stuff and also offered support. Our council, we have a condolence chairman, and they reach out to the family and provide whatever help they need, whether it's material, spiritual, or just emotional support. They help out.
That's very nice. Yeah. Well, what about, and then I recently learned that they have an arm that provides financial investment, you know, kind of counseling and advice, but all of the places that they invest in are dubbed as being like ethical places to invest, which I thought was pretty interesting, you know, because they really watch and scan, you know, what's going on in the marketplace. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's through the Knights of Columbus insurance agent. I probably a different one. There's one in the Central Illinois area. There's one that covers Southern Illinois where WGGH is. There's one here in St. Louis that covers most of Missouri, and I think they might go into Illinois, Southern Illinois, a little bit.
Yes. So, you know, if you are a listener in one of the other states where this program is broadcast to, you know, you can always find these folks in your area, because they're all over the world, actually. Because, and I was quite surprised to learn, you know, the policy that my parents had. The reimbursement, if you will, came out of New Haven, Connecticut, which is the central office. So yeah, I was kind of surprised at all that. Yeah. So it's all, you know, it's all connected and interconnected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got the investment thing is kind of recent last few years. And it's all the requirement is, as you said, the funds that are invested in, they have to adhere to Catholic teaching, no exceptions to that, and so that's why he says on the very ethical side, because they do keep an eye, close tabs on that, which is not a bad thing at all. And then the insurance, they did for the night, they write insurance. I'm looking at the agency, what's over here. They provide a permanent life insurance, long-term care insurance, term plans, annuities, disability income insurance. And then membership. Basically, once you join a council, you likely the council will send your name to the insurance agent. You'll probably be contacted by an agent at when asking if you'd be interested in signing for insurance through the Knights. And it's only for Knights and the families on that, before you understand it.
Mm-hmm. So let's turn to the fish fries now for a minute. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, the fish fries are council's major fundraiser.
Yeah, and our council, right. But some councils it is, some it other things are, but in our case, I think oftentimes is for the council, most councils, but each council is different, so. But in our case, it is our main fundraiser.
And so the fish fries, if you're a listener, you've probably seen signs out in your local community about fish fries. And, you know, there's always a standard fish, but there are a lot of variations to things as well. I know the Incarnate Word Council has a Cajun fish fries. So tell us about that, Brian.
Oh, Cajun style, yeah. Love councils that it seems like have a normal fish, regular fish fry, garden fry. It's about, in our case, what we did, a night, in one of our nights, who approached overseas now, Steve Dickett, is originally, I guess, from Kansas City area, but he's big on Cajun stuff, and he approached the council about, I'd say, 5-10 years ago. I forget exactly when, but the idea of turning our entire menu into like a Cajun style fish fry, or as we the slogan says, St. Louis is best family fish fry with a bit of Cajun, but it's basically a Cajun style menu. And so that went, that's what we did. It's like covering niche because I didn't see any Cajun style fish fries in St. Louis, really. And so we just looked to do a niche and try it, and it's worked out incredibly well in our case. From what I understand, before we did that, we was making gross about $2,000. Wait, I understand $2,000 a night. Now we just did 3 weeks straight of 15,000 plus a night gross. And
net, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, it's basically so that and the fish fries are filled. The Bollinger Hall, which is Lord Church Hall, it's pretty much full every week. Been full every week except for the first one. We're the only fish fry that starts the week before the Friday before Ash Wednesday.
Well, that's so, usually a practice run, I bet, right?
It's an actual fish fry, but they refer to it as a practice run. Basically, yeah.
Work out all
way
the
to work out the bugs, yeah.
And logistics.
With a lot of people joining in for a fiesta.
So tell me, like this Cajun fish fry. What kind of products do they sell? Like, I know that you have typically codfish.
Mm-hmm. Cod, yeah. That's pretty universal, most fish fries. We also have a baked tilapia. Baked tilapia, fish tacos, cod and tilapia. Fried shrimp, a Cajun seafood gumbo. With cotton shrimp, that's made in-house, but...
Yeah, that is absolutely delicious.
Oh, yeah. Lisa is what in W's behind that, and we've been glad to have her work with us on that. Popcorn shrimp, Cajun red beans and shrimp over rice. We have a spicy hush puppy, spaghetti. I did red beans. Red beans and rice without shrimp. Homemade desserts. I know in the past every week was done by the Lay's Auxiliary.
Right. Those are delicious desserts. Delicious.
Oh yeah. This year, I think there were like a few weeks where I guess the kids group came and did, and I think the rest is the ladies. From what I understand.
Yep, that's right. The ladies are taking over now. But yeah. They do have a program where children from the grade school that's affiliated with the church have a baking club, and they do bake. And though the two groups, Ladies Auxiliary and the Kids Club, join forces. So let's go back to these Cajun products. So you've got red beans and rice.
Uh-huh.
You've got hush puppies, you said.
Yep.
You've got shrimp.
Uh-huh.
You've got gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
And what else that's Cajun or in orientation? Oh, the fish tacos.
And the hush puppies.
Yeah. The fish tacos are amazing. That's my favorite. Absolutely my favorite.
Oh, yeah. It's a popular thing there.
Oh, and you didn't mention the mac and cheese and side items. They have mac and cheese is to die for, and then green beans.
Yeah, also spaghetti, coleslaw, french fries, applesauce, pudding cups. And some fish fries you can only pay going in. Most of the menu items that we have are you can order online to have a, for pickup at the fish fry. And if just and one note, if anybody thinks we deliver, we do not deliver. We actually had a big controversy, I think 3-4 years ago when Grubhub, I guess the CEO had a bright idea, emphasis in air quotes there, bright idea of listing restaurants, organizations, including ours, including our fish fry, as doing as having delivery when we never have, and
that was probably kind of like a bubble burst, right?
Yeah, I think it ended up costing the CEO of Grubhub his job in the end, because they basically added those restaurants and events without the consent of the organization and or restaurant at the time, and that's what kind of got him in hot water. I mean, that year we lost about $45 on two meals that year because of that. That was the only time. But other than that, we just don't deliver. So it's basically you can order online, decide on a pickup time, and then you just go by the front of the church and get it. Let them know you're here.
So Incarnate Word's Fish Fry is very well logistically organized. They get a lot of help from the grade school kids who are doing service hours, don't they?
Yeah.
And so when I've gone there, it's amazing. Those kids, they're, you know, running orders up from the basement, upstairs. And it's pretty efficient, you know. They've got a pickup line, so you can order online and pick up your food. Or you can do like a drive-through order or just go in and sit down and eat. So there's lots of options for people. That's for sure. And then there's lots of options for food. Like Brian was saying, there's your regular fried cod. Then you got baked tilapia. You've got a huge array of sides, including Cajun sides, like the hush puppies and the red beans and rice and seafood gumbo. Uh-huh. So there's, you know, you literally can go for almost every week and have a different menu item. Each week, if you wanted that variety. Now, that is the Incarnate Word Council, 9981, and they are located in Chesterfield, Missouri, on Olive Boulevard, correct?
On Olive, just about the block, about a block west of the intersection of Olive and 141.
Right.
Basically, say you was coming north from Highway 40, which those are wondering what I'm talking about. It took me a while to realize it, but when I first moved here, but Highway 40 is Interstate 64, US Route 40, which is where Highway 40 comes from. A couple other routes that are go through the West County, and it's along the route of the original Cumberland Road. National Road Bank. But basically, Highway USR 40 was the main route. Then they built Interstate 64, and so, but people in St. Louis still call it Highway 40. So that's the reason for that. So if you're coming from there, you would get off at 141, head north, get off at Olive, turn left on the Olive, and the first stoplight after that intersection is you would turn left into Incarnate Word Catholic Church is where the fish fries take place.
Now, if you are part of my listening audience and you happen to be in another part of, the Midwest, because this show airs over various states, I guarantee you will be able to find a fish fry in your community that's put on by the Knights of Columbus, because this is just it's one of their main types of fundraisers. It's so every council practically around the universe, at least in North America, tries to do something like this during the Lenten season in order to accommodate, you know, people's culinary and dietary needs. So, you know, you can, you may not find the variety like the Cajun fish fries that Brian is talking about, but you should be able to find something in your neighborhood and your community. And we really appreciate you coming out and supporting the Knights of Columbus. And most of the councils also depend upon their ladies auxiliary to provide those delicious desserts as well. So you can't go wrong, and it's a really good value for your money as well.
Yeah, there's also, our case is Cajun. I know there's, in here in St. Louis, I'm assuming also other places, if there's niche type fish fries, like Hispanic fish fries are a big one. Irish style fish fries, depending. Usually what we tell, I've told other councils that do parishes and councils that do these. Some parishes do it through the men's club, and others, like you said, through the knights. Is if one way to increase turnout and is really to do a niche, like look at what type of communities you have in your parish. Like, for instance, St. Joseph Parish in Manchester, Missouri, they've got a huge Hispanic community, so much so that they have a Brazilian mass on the third Saturday and a Spanish mass every Sunday. And I said kind of like that, maybe you should consider doing a Cajun style fish fry. Then another parish where their whole theme is around St. Patrick of Ireland. Maybe suggested maybe do an Irish style fish fry.
Well, there you go. Have it. There you have it, my listening audience. You've got a lot of different, probably different varieties too, so it's worth checking out. Brian, we're out of time. I hate to tell you this. Time flies when you're having fun. Anyway, thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing about the Knights of Columbus and their fundraiser, Fish Fries. To my listening audience, please dare to care and try out some fish fry in your local community. And if you're in the region, check out Incarnate Word's Fish Fry on Olive Boulevard. You will not be disappointed. So thanks again, Brian, for being our guest today. To my listening audience, thank you for joining us today. And please join us next week on Dare to Care.